have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Cause you know I like I'll be like Julio, let's get the ad lib and stuff.
Once again I'm standing here ashamed. My sinful ways have caused you so much pain. Doing things you told me not to do. Lord, I need a healing touch from you. So I asked the Lord if he would change my heart. A touch from you would provide a brand new start.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. One of the greatest gifts that we have been blessed with is our family, our parents, children, spouse, siblings, and other extended family members are all gifts from God. Sometimes they may frustrate us, and other times they may bring us inexplicable joy. But in any case, there is a unique connection that binds us. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, we are told, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I am certain that in this scripture, providing speaks to both providing loving care and providing financial support to ensure that the strength of the entire family is maximized. Just as God gave each of us different gifts that balance each other to achieve his will, don't you think that he provided that balance within our families so that we may help each other to accomplish the fullness of his will for our families? This does not mean that we must take on the full burden of expenses for every adult relative, but if we remind ourselves of our commitment to love as God loved us, and the gift of the family connection, always give love to our family, and when necessary and able, provide financial support to family members in need. Sometimes when we are blessed financially, we fear being taken advantage of, perhaps especially by some family members. But God does not want us to concern ourselves with that. Rather, we should be thankful for the gift of being able to help someone. This does not mean that we should not be diligent in confirming that the need is real. But God does not want us to be so concerned with the honesty of another family member to the point where we are unable to simply love them. I often hear of money becoming a division between family members. In fact, many stay away from some family members because of financial disputes from years past. Don't allow money to separate you from any family member. You may not realize it, but doing that may block your blessings from the Lord as he waits on you to open your heart to one of the greatest gifts that he has already given you, your family. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your gospel news, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
How you doing, everybody? Happy holidays. I'm Nina Taylor with this week's gospel news. Gospel artist Naomi Rain, born in New York on April 9, 1987, a celebrated soloist as well as a member of Maverick City Music. She started singing at the age of 7. Naomi's parents were both pastors. She continues to spread the gospel just as she was taught. Naomi has been featured on countless projects with some of the most acclaimed artists in Christian and gospel music, such as Todd Delaney, J.J. Harrison, Bethel Music, Jonathan and Melissa Hesler, Israel Halton, just to name a few. Her desire has always been to create music that encourages others to worship God. Her debut viral track, Pour Me Out, gave a voice to a young audience. The message is one that has been a key word and very relevant in all projects she's done since then, including her most recent Back to Eden Part 1 and 2. Some of Naomi's previous releases include 2015's Heart Song Volume 1, My Heart, and Heart Song Volume 2, Adoration, both released in 2017. Pour Me Out, her viral single, became the anthem for a generation of people who want to live a surrendered life. Todd Delaney's 2018 Your Great Name album included a reprise of Pour Me Out, with Naomi serving as featured vocalist on the We Surrender It All encore. Naomi is now signed with her indie label, The Bridge Collective, which she co-founded with producer Gary Coach in 2018. Currently, Naomi Rain serves as worship pastor at Fresh Start Christian Center of Mount Vernon, New York. Mark Crowder was born in Madison, Wisconsin. After settling in Indianapolis, Indiana, he attended Indiana University, graduating in December of 2008 with a major in informatics and minoring in business and music theory. During his time in school, Mark was blessed to win Campus Superstar, a singing competition for all university students in the state of Indiana, as well as the talent search at Youth Congress. Winnings from both competitions allowed him to record his first CD, No More Night. He was then offered an opportunity to minister at General Conference a few times. Upon his graduation, Mark was asked to assist Bishop Mike Mitchell as the music director of New Life Tabernacle Church of Brooklyn, New York. During his time there, his choir and group opened up for Ty Tribbett, J.J. Harrison, and Youthful Praise, along with Mary Mary and many others. In October of 2012, he was directed to Calvary Apostolic Church of Columbus, Ohio, where he serves as music director. He's still preaching, ministering, and leading others to worship. How do African Americans celebrate the holiday season? Well, one way is Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is an African American Christian tradition that began in the United States in the 1960s. It was started by the civil rights leader Malala Karenga in 1966. The idea was for Black people to unify in coming together and celebrating their history. The focus would be on values to support their development. What Kwanzaa means to African Americans? Well, each day of Kwanzaa is devoted to celebrating the seven basic values of African culture, or the Nguzu Saba, which is a Swahili word that means seven principles. Translated, the words are unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, building Black businesses, of course, purpose, creativity, and faith. Kwanzaa is not a religious holiday, it's a cultural one. Because of this, people from all different religions and backgrounds, including African spiritual traditions, celebrate it. Kwanzaa honors African heritage and African American culture. It is observed December 26th through January 1st. Traditions vary, but the goal is to celebrate, inspire, and honor the past. And of course, the festivals culminate with the gifts of giving and a big feast. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Dietrich Haddon, Here Comes the Joy. 9, Let Him In by Jokia. 8, Kingdom by Naomi Rain, Chandler Moore, and Maverick City Music. 7, Lord I Hear You, Lucinda Moore. 6, Call on the Name by Marcus Jordan. 5, You've Been Good to Me, Zacardi Cortez. 4, New, Ty Tribbett. 3, Thankful, J.J. Harrison. Down for number 1 this week at number 2, Your World by Jonathan McReynolds. Our new number 1 song comes from Jordan Armstrong featuring Erica Campbell, and it's called Call. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Good evening to you, my dear sister Nina Taylor, and thank you, Lady Sharon Richard, for your contribution. And the thing. Well, we want to say hello to you, and also to you. And I'm going to take a moment to be able to say hello. But first, let me call on my co-host and then find out who is with us tonight. And then we'll reveal tonight's topic of discussion. Pastor Anna Henderson in Indianapolis, Indiana. Are you there with me, my dear sister? How are you?
Bless. Good evening. Good evening. Happy holidays to each and every one listening tonight. I'm so glad to be a part tonight, and we just give God praise for what he's doing and what he's already done. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And we do have other people that have joined us, so I'm going to go down the list, and I'm going to those that I know ought to be here or might be here, and then I'm going to find out who's here that I may not have knowledge of. I've invited a few special people to come and join us, but let me find out with the rest of the cast. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, come on, open your mic, say hello to the people. God bless you, my dear sister. And while she's opening her mic, folks, this has been my producer for the last 7-8 years, and she's just been doing an awesome job in Jesus. I so bless you for keeping this show alive. Power to, it was the Pastor's Corner, but it still is a part of Pastor's Corner. It's the oldest show on Elation Radio. And so open mic with the Bishop being a brand new launch this year. I so bless you. How you feeling today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing excellent. I bless God for you. Now, there are others that have joined us, so let me do it this way. And this is the best way I can do it because I don't know who actually made it. Some said they would make an effort to get here. Others said they may be able to step in for a few hot minutes. And whatever the case may be, we'll tell you what the show is in a few minutes. Who else do we have with us? Please state your name and where you're from, if you don't mind.
Okay, Apostle Faye August. Gloria God Ministries.
Bless your heart, Apostle August. Thank time to be with us. This is my little big sister, y'all. She's only older than me in age. Actually, she's older than me in ministry, too, so I ain't going to say too much. But I bless God for you. Thank you for joining us. Who else do we have with us? Who else do we have with us?
Yes, Ella Green from Springfield.
Elder Green, dance machine himself. Bless the Lord, my soul.
Help me, Lord, help me.
I said if you start the dance, just put it on mute, do what you do, and just come on back. We probably might be here when you come back. Okay.
God bless you, bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Who else do we have on here? Anyone else just going to identify themselves? Well, amen. We're going to move forward and do what we do. Tonight we're doing something very special. Many of you don't realize it, that I was consecrated on July 23rd, the year 2022, it actually took place at Trinity Temple Church of God in Christ. That's the building we use. But I was brought to volume of the book some 2 or 3 years ago, and I kind of tried to escape that consecration and coming to the bishopric. And I have to call him my spiritual father because he is the one that birthed me into the bishopric in the person of the late Apostle Vincent L. Smith. As our leader of volume of the book, and as the one that we look to guide us through as a Reformation, the Lord called him home on December 9th of this year. And for a lot of us, it hurt us because it felt like it was so sudden, like it just happened. And we don't know, we don't question what God does. I just believe that Apostle Smith was tired and he just was ready to go home. But in that, we wanted to take the time to honor this great man of God, this leader, this visionary, and take time here because about 3 years ago, and help me get this right, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, was it 3 years ago? Yeah, I think it was 3 years ago. He and I launched a show called The Voice with Apostle Vincent L. Smith. And this brother would come on and share such profound information and knowledge. And, you know, we here at Elations Magazine have such high-level respect for who he is and what he stood for. And we just thank God for having been blessed to be part of what he was doing, to have been blessed to have come to know him. I know I've known him better than 45 plus years, but even the Alations family embraced him when he showed up from day one. And there were just so many. Is Apostle Irvin Whitlow here yet? Or has he shown up yet? Okay, Apostle Whitlow hasn't come in just yet. But all right, we're going to keep it moving. I was looking for him. I was listening. Someone's asking questions if it's live. And I do want to let them know, yes, I know messages are still coming in. Please forgive me, y'all. Okay? But basically, all I want to say is this. You know, if you knew Apostle Vincent L. Smith, you knew the kind of man he was. So here's what I'm going to do. Pastor Henderson, if you'll be so kind as to pray us in. After you pray us in, we're going to begin talking about the man, the person, Apostle Vincent L. Smith. And I do want you to know, folks, don't go nowhere, because when we get finished having our discussion about him, we're going to play the absolute last show that he did before he was taken off the airways by way of his failing health. Amen? So with that,
amen.
Come on, Pastor Henderson. Come on with that, amen. Pastor Henderson.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you tonight for being a good God. We thank you tonight, Father God, because you work all things together for our good. We thank you tonight for our gathering, each one that have come on tonight. Father, we just give you glory and we give you honor. We ask that you have your way, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. As we remember your servant tonight, Father God, and hallelujah, what he meant in the lives of your people, Father God, and the legacy that he left behind, Father God. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the privilege tonight to come over the airways tonight. We thank you, God, because you kept us, oh God, this last Thursday in 2022. Father, we just want to say
yes.
You've been so good. If it had not
Amen.
Been for you on our side, where would we be?
Yes.
God, we just want to
yes.
bless you tonight. We lift your
yes,
hallelujah.
Yes.
You've been good.
Amen.
You've been good. You've been good. You've been good. And we just come to say thank you. Thank you tonight.
Yes,
thank you for your goodness. Thank
yes.
you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your people tonight. We ask that you have your way tonight. And we give your name to praise.
Yes.
We put this, hallelujah, this show tonight in your hands. And Lord, we say, be glorified, God, in the name of Jesus. And we magnify you and give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you so much.
Yes, Lord.
Now,
yes,
I want to
yes.
open up with this statement right here. And if I can, I don't want anybody to really mute their phone because, you know, when you mute and then you forget that you're muted and you start talking, that happens all the time. So if you can leave your phones unmuted, if you do have background noise, I understand why you mute, and I respect you for having respect for the show, because this is a solemn moment. So I'm going to open up with this. There is a passage of scripture that we find in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and I believe it's verse 24, which simply says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Now, we do recognize the very fact that Jesus Christ, in fact, was talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. But at the same time, there is a biblical principle that transpires in the midst of that particular scripture. Each and every one of us who have committed our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, each and every one of us that's answered the call to the fivefold ministry or whatever ministry God has called you to, decided to allow ourselves to be planted and to die to ourselves, that we will decompose from the selfish, egotistical, self-centered individuals that we may have been at some point, and allow the Holy Spirit to transform us into a plant that would nourish the nations. And in this particular day and at this particular hour, we are talking about such a man who has made that specific transition. I'm not talking about his leaving the face of the earth. I'm talking about his giving himself away so that God could use him, so that people could feast off of what God has placed in him. He allowed himself to be blessed. He allowed himself to be broken. He allowed himself to be distributed to give the meat and the manna that so many have needed. And if you knew this particular individual, you would understand the wisdom of God that was placed in him. If you knew this individual, you would understand the heart of this man and his desire to see people prosper. If you knew this man, a prophet, a priest, a king, a father, a grandfather, and so much more, a pastor, an apostle, a leader, one who did not sit behind a desk and crack a whip, but one who would get in the trenches and pull with the people. His faith was to the place and point that even in those times when others were saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, he was determined and believed that God was going to see him through whatever it is. I'm talking about the late Apostle Vincent L. Smith. So we've gathered ourselves on this line and on this radio station, and we want to welcome those of you who are listening by way of our iHeartRadio, those who are listening by way of Spreaker Radio, those who are listening by way of Spotify, those who may be listening by way of YouTube, wherever you're hearing us at this particular point in time. We want to share in some instances with those who are here with us today, the life, the legacy of one Apostle Vincent L. Smith. And give me opportunity and chance to start, since I know Elder Green is here. Elder Green, I'm going to give you the floor first. And whatever God lays on your heart to share, you don't have a time limit per se, sir, but whatever God's laid on your heart, try not to preach a whole sermon because New Year's Eve is coming. I'm joking. But but anyway, take a moment. Go ahead, Elder.
Amen. God bless you. Amen, Bishop. Amen. Those that listening. Oh, Jesus. I'm still trying to focus this here. Jesus, have mercy. He will be missed. Okay. Praise God. He will be missed. I'm gonna miss him. Amen. Because I've been knowing him when he got started. Amen. Traveled with him, helped him, you know, as he went forth, he pulled me with him. We went here and there. It's good news, good news, good news. No sad, good news. I just like a brother. I didn't realize he was young and I was. I said, well, my Lord Jesus, I'm following him. And the teaching that he did, and I always get revelation, and he know that. So every time he say something, he look at me, he said, Green, I know you, Green. I know you got a revelation from that. I said, you're right. I'm writing it down. Amen. I thank God. Amen. Amen, amen. And I thank God for him. We travel up and down the highway. Amen. We dance together. Amen. I know the family. The family knows me. Oh, Jesus. But I thank God for him. Amen. I go out of the church, help him out. Sometimes I think he can see. The way he be talking to me, I think he can see.
I said, now, wait a minute here.
He's making me laugh. We both laughing and whatnot. Because when we get together, we talk about the old school. Amen. The good times we had, whatnot. And I come to look at something. I said, wait a minute. I forgot. Wait a minute. I said, Lord Jesus, I forgot. But it's just like he can see. Amen. Praise God. And a sense of humor, you be laughing. I thank God for him. I miss him. Amen. Praise God. I know I let a whole lot. I kept something in with me, which I should let out. But I gave it all out of the day of the funeral. Amen. I didn't have time to moan, whatnot. I just want to do that I'm supposed to do, right? Amen. Praise God and give God glory for him. And I thank God for him. We shared a lot of things. Oh, Jesus. We shared a lot of memories. A lot of memories.
Hallelujah.
Help me, Lord. Oh, Jesus.
All right. It's all right, brother.
A lot of memories. I'm gonna stop now because it's too much. I could write a book. Things that you know, him and I went through and been through, whatnot, which was all good.
Jesus.
Thank God.
Lord, have mercy. As we do all this shit, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to stop because it's too much. I can go back. I can go back and tell the story. But I can't tell it all.
We went places together.
We got on the bus, met his family down south. We went here and there. Always going to church and still trouble. As we do our praises to God. Jesus. But I thank God for him in his ministry. And the family and the daughter called me Uncle Green. I appreciate that. They didn't have to call me that, but I appreciate that. They called me Uncle Green. Yes, Amber and Diamond.
Diamond.
Thank God. Yes, I thank God for that. Amen. But I'm gonna stop because the more I talk about it, oh Jesus, I'm gonna stop.
Go ahead, bro. If you have a friend of that caliber, you can't help but you can physically grieve over him. And the mourning period has not ended because the mourning period is usually 40 to 90 days. So if you're still mourning over his departure, don't feel bad, whoever you are, as you come on. Do not feel bad because there's a human element to each and every one of us. Some things I want to share, but let me, Apostle August, can I get you to come in and take us through and just share? And I'm trying to do it this way because those who are the older or the oldest, and I know Apostle, I elevate this young lady every other week. Pastor Henderson, just stand by. I mean, I must elevate her at least, twice a month or something like that? Anyway, Apostle August, if you will, please.
Yes, sir. Good evening, everyone. I've been greetings from Glory God Ministries in Springfield. And God bless you, Bishop, and to my brother and my partner in crime, Elder Lawrence Green. His nickname is Shouting John at my church. And we met the Apostle Smith. It was funny the way we met. It was in New Haven. He was consecrating as an apostle. But she was then Pastor Deborah McClendon. And she had called me and was asking me questions about her robing because she knew I was an apostle. And she said she was being consecrated by Apostle Vincent Smith, and there were some others. So when I got to the church, I beat her there, and they sent me to the office with him. And I told him, I said, I need to change my robe. And he jokingly said, well, you can put your robe on in here because I can't see you no way. And I started laughing, but when I saw the blue in his eyes, I knew he was saying that he was blind. And I said, no, sir, it's okay. So that made us both laugh, and it broke the ice, you know, as far as our meeting each other. So after I robed, I came back into the office, and we sat, and we had a nice discussion waiting because some things had gone wrong. And the patience that he showed with the things that the incumbent apostle was waiting for, they forgot some things back in Waterbury. And he said, no, we need those for her. And he sent the people back to Waterbury from New Haven to go get it because he wanted everything she needed correct. And whoever she had put in charge they did not bring it. And I admired the fact that he was strategic. And he wanted things done with excellence if he said he was going to do it. And so this after they came back with the sword and whatever else, the other things she needed, we continued on and we both did the elevation. So at the end of the evening, they had food downstairs, and they sat me next to him. And he was, like I said, I didn't know. I kept forgetting he was blind because I had never met him. And I reached over, and I began to fix his food for him. I got his food, set it at the table, and then I sat next to him. And he said, "Who's sitting next to me smelling good?" And I told him it was me again. So he said, "Well, thank you for sitting there." And as we sat, he ate, I ate, and we struck up a conversation. And then I had to leave because I had a long drive back. The next time I heard from him, Elder Green had called me. And we were on the phone because the conference was coming up, and he wanted a speaker. He had told Green to get me on the phone. Green told him he knew me personally. And then I met him over the phone. And from there, I agreed to come and preach in his convocation that he was having in New Haven. And we developed a friendship then. He called me back, and he said, "You have papers as an apostle." And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I need you to consecrate me the chief apostle, a volume of the book." So we talked for about the next week or so, and then he said, "I really need this," and so I did it. It was an honor, and it happened that it was right in the middle of the COVID. It was like COVID had hit that February. I believe the consecration was that September. And so hardly anyone was there, but once he put his word out that he was going to do something or he wanted something done, I noticed that he was the man that no matter what, he was going to keep his word. And if he had a vision, he did what it took to try to make that vision happen. If he said God told him, he was going to do it. And I, you know, I admired him for that. So like you said, I went to Indianapolis with him, met so many people, you know, in the Lord through him. And I praise God for that. I say he's a man of honor. He was a man of strategy. I saw him. I was looking at my phone, and I refused to erase it now. He texted me prior to his death. We were supposed to have a phone conference with about three or four other people, and they never showed up on the phone. So me and him sat on the phone and laughed and talked and shared ideas. And he said to me, "I need you to come to volume of the book." And I was in fellowship with another group of churches in Connecticut and in New York. And I told him, "I want to do it decently." I said, "I'll let you know." And we talked, and I told him I was pulling out, and we would talk. And I have that on the phone, his and my texting back and forth. And then the next phone call I got, we went to see him, Bishop Richardson, and myself and my children. We went up to see him in the nursing home. And he said, "August, you still with me?" I said, "I'm still with you, sir." And the next call I got, he had passed. And I didn't get to spend the years that you guys did with him. But the 3 or 4 years of knowing him will leave a memory in my mind forever. He was kind. He was sweet. Obviously, he knew that word. We've been out to eat several times, you know, and bought him back food when we went out, when he couldn't go out, when he didn't feel well, we bring him back food. And just whatever I could do to help him. And the fact that I can say I was the one that elevated him to the chief apostle means the world to me. And it just, you know, to be able to do that for such a great man. And I just appreciate God. I appreciate the God in him. And whatever we can do to keep his legacy alive, I would be honored.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I mean, I know, like everybody else, you look at the sentiments and, you know, you can't help but love on him for who he is. All right. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, from a radio perspective, come in and share with us. Let's, before I get you, Dr. Robinson, I understand Pastor Michelle Wright happens to be on the line. Pastor Wright, how are you today?
Praise the Lord. I'm excited to be here because we're talking about a great man of God, and we thank God for you on tonight.
Amen. Well, I'm going to open it up to you. I was going to put Dr. Robinson in, but I kind of want to save her as far to the end as I can because I know they developed such a wonderful relationship. And, you know, and I'm going to release you in just a second, but for those of you that are on the line and those of you who are listening, Sister Kimmy Robinson is such a dear, dear sister to me. And when they first came in and they found out how super sweet she was, they was trying to take her from me. Say, you can try all you want. She ain't going nowhere. She's mine forever until somebody come and marry her. So and I had to sing the Barry White song to them. I'm never going to give her up. No, really. But let me let you go ahead, Pastor Wright.
Amen. I just want to say and greetings to all on the line and Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Listen, I just want to say that all of the sentiments have blessed my soul. And I was thinking as everyone was talking about the life of Apostle Vincent L. Smith, it's interesting when you text me about being on, I was actually watching the burial of him. So I know God was intending for this tonight. There's a scripture that comes to mind, and it is in Revelations 2 and 10. And it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. When I think about this scripture, I think of Apostle Vincent L. Smith. As you know, you introduced my husband and I, Pastor Donald Wright and myself, to him during prayer. And that's where we first, he got up, I shot. That's where we first met, was during prayer. And not only during prayer, but he spoke into the life of me and my husband, and his love for people, his love for ministry was not something that was just to be talked about. It was lived. And although we never physically met Apostle Vincent L. Smith, we knew his spirit, and he played no games. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And because of that ministering and the love you have for him, Bishop Ernest, I'm telling you, there's something about relationships. And if we could all get this in ministry, that it's bigger than titles, because the love and the work goes hand in hand. And to know that he lived his life unto death, serving others. Now, you know that serving is my thing, that we have to serve one another and serve the body of Christ and serve mankind. The Lord's name may be known. So I honor him in his living. I was blessed in his homegoing. It wasn't a service that was, I'm sure it was more than expected. Everyone that spoke, that sang, you could feel his presence, person he was, just by watching his services. And that says a lot. We often say, may the life I live speak for me. His life spoke in volumes. And if we could all take that it's not just all the things we do, but how do you live that someone else will want to continue to call your name, get on the radio, and still remember you after you've been buried and gone, is when your life has made an impact that somebody else will want to know who your God is. And that's the kind of apostles that we need in these days. Not one that can just preach good, not one that just gets up and says flowery words, but one that will live a life that you want to live just like them, and when they go, his essence and his oil is still in the earth. That legacy will live on. So I honor the man of God, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, his children, his family. I pray that God will continually bless them, carry them through these moments, these days when everybody else is gone after the shouting and the dancing, but that the essence of his oil will carry them for the remainder of their lives, that just like the widow woman that was looking to just die, then the prophet came to the house, gave a word and some instruction, and she never ran out. May we never run out because of knowing Apostle Vincent L. Smith in our lives, and that his legacy lives on, not just through his children, but all of the lives that he's impacted, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Apostle Wright, I could not have said it better myself. I so greatly appreciate it. We do have another very special guest on, and I was introduced to this great man of God about 3 or 4 years ago, and I found him to be an impact person as well. So I want to really, and Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I'm trying to save you for as close to last as I can. It's not that I've forgotten you. It's just that, you know, when we're talking about radio, we'll get to you in a minute, because if I turn around and tell all the stuff, you won't have anything else left to talk about. But I want to introduce to some of you and present to others of you to have this opportunity to say whatever it is God places on his heart. I can call him a friend now. Bishop Richardson. Bishop, how are you tonight?
Good. Bishop Richardson, bless you. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, Lord, just trying to stay stable and even in this conversation. I'm fighting off the humanistic emotions that go with it, because that was my spiritual father. He birthed me into the bishopric, and to lose your father that quick, you know what I mean?
Let me
let you have yourself when I pull myself together.
All right, thank you, and greetings to each one of you all. I'm sorry that I just got on late. For those that don't know, we just lost our assistant pastor just this Sunday, and was with the family this evening, so it caused my time to be all tied up. But I didn't want this evening to go by without me listening or at least joining in. I am so honored, and I want to thank Pastor Henderson, who was the one who introduced me to such a person as Apostle Smith. It was an honor when I first met him. His personality and his charisma just stood out to me on day one when I first met him. And then when he came to our church and spoke, I was so thrilled and so excited just to hear the words that came out of his mouth. And from that day forward, he's always been a true person, good friend. I consider him more like a father, even though I was a little older than him, but just the wisdom and knowledge that he had, that he imparted into even my life, meant so much to me. There's a saying that my former pastor would say, that if you have anything good to say to anybody, say it to them while they're living. If you have anything good to give to anybody, give it to them while they're living. And I'm honored and pleased this evening to be able to show my love to him while he was living. I was thinking, even watching the service, as Pastor Wright was saying, you know, sometimes when people live, it's like when you really want people to be there to assist you, you can't find them anywhere. But something about the death of a person, that it brings people, an old saying, bring people out of the woodworks, and everybody come. And I think that's something that really needs to be changed, even among our own culture, is that we really need to show people how much we care and love them while they're living. Because when they die, they can't smell the flowers. They can't smell that chicken that you cook, and they can't smell the green beans. They can't smell none of that stuff that you do after the fact while they're living.
Yes.
It's so important to show your love to them. I pray that God will bless his children. It's hard. I lost my parents approximately 10 years ago, and it seems like it was yesterday. And normally in this season, the holiday season, it is stated that suicide, depression, oppression is on the rise because those loved ones that you have are gone, and you have a tendency to remember them. And just this week, I have mourned in my own way of my parents. We're great parents. It was coincident that my dad died and my mom died 6 months right after my dad. And that was heartbreaking because they were married approximately 60-some years, and they was had such
my
a bond
God.
That even when he left, she wanted to be with him. So I say to each all of us, you know, Apostle, I think Wright said it, even when you consider the Bible, Jesus said that, I came not to I come to serve. And one thing that we have a tendency, we always want people to put us on a pedestal, all we want people to pat us on our back, all we want people to promote us and make us feel like we're all important. But the greatest person who ever lived is a servant. And whenever we come to the point that it's not about your title, who you are, what you have gained, and what accolades you have in this life, but the greatest person that could ever be called anything on the face of this earth is a servant. And when we learn how to serve people and give back to our community and give back to the Jesus said it like this, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me. And so when we learn how to serve people, I think we'll be a better place. So I want to send my tribute on the honor of Apostle Smith. And I say thanks to God for allowing him to cross my path, and thanks to Pastor Henderson to introduce me to him. And then one other thing, I'll say this, I'm finished. Sometime the church go through a whole lot in transitioning. And this is the time that people really need to be there for his daughter and for the church to make sure that you keep the wolves off to come in and try to tear down the legacy of Apostle Smith. I'm sure Bishop Richards, you're in good hands as being part of the volume of the book to make sure that that legacy continue on. I have seen many times pastors who have served years, and that they work 30 or 40 or 50 years for somebody come and tear down 30 or 40 minutes, 30 or 40 days. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we have to maintain to make sure that Apostle Smith's legacy continues to live on. And last but not least, that it's important that we always remember his spirit, because he was a man who believes in unity. He was a man that believes in fellowship. He was a man to bring people together. And that's something we should continue to do to bring the body of Christ together. I pray that each one of you all have a happy New Year's. Thank you for this opportunity to speak on behalf of Apostle Smith. I love you guys. And thank you, Bishop Richards.
Thank you
God
for taking
you.
The time to be with us, Bishop Jefferson. And I know it was you wanted to be there at my consecration. You would have enjoyed it. It was so rare to see that level, but you know, I count you as a friend, and don't worry, you still have a little big brother in me. So
thank you, sir.
And I do want you to know that anytime you need to talk, it don't matter, just pick up the phone, because the one thing I always want to be is available and down to earth. I won't judge you.
Yes,
if you feel like fussing, ranting, raving, falling out, whatever it is, you know. And see, I want us to understand how important that is, because those of us that are in fivefold ministry, being in these positions is not easy. It is rather stressful and strenuous, because people are always looking to you to help to solve their problems, and we're not problem solvers. We're vessels of the Lord, and all we have for them is the Word. We understand the Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that the Word penetrates and divides us. So after the Word, we don't have anything else for them, but then in our own personal lives. And so while the JTA family is going through and the loss of another general in that army over there, a major piece, you know, alongside yourself, our hearts are with you in this day and in this age. And when you cry, we cry right along with you. When you hurt, we hurt with you. You know, so just know our hearts truly are with you. And I'm honored that you took the time to be here. But don't go anywhere just yet, because I've got another general in the army of the Lord who came alongside to help build volume of the book. And he better be here, because if he ain't, I'm jumping through this phone and I'm grabbing him. No, I'm joking when I say that. But I want to release the mic to Apostle Irvin Whitlow. Take
all
time.
Right.
Blessings to you, my brother.
Welcome
to St. Louis, sir. Great to teach you as well. The Lord bless you all that I hear. Bishop Jefferson, the Lord bless you, man of God. I heard Apostle Wright, the Lord bless you. Pastor Henderson, Dr. Kimmy. God bless each and every one of you. I could say a lot
about Apostle Vincent L. Smith, but I won't. I will tell you this. I remember that I met him in my younger days because of the church I used to attend in Bridgeport, Connecticut, being that he was in New Haven. He would come and preach on our youth night, and he preached a message one evening, and he read the scripture, and before he could call it out, I called out his message. Right? He read out of 1 Peter 2 and 9 that says, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a king of people," so on. And so when he finished reading the scripture, I said, "Picked out to be picked on." He said, "Who are you? I'm going to be telling people my message." He said, "That's the message, people. That's the message." And then we lost contact. We lost contact. And I remember maybe 15 years later, I remember I was in the area. I had come to visit some people, and I had to minister at that time for a local assembly. But one day it was just going out. Have something to eat over there at that restaurant that's right there by the La Quinta and over there by Wardoff Avenue or whatever it is. Anyways, I was sitting over there eating something at that diner. And while I was sitting there, he walked in with another preacher. And I looked at him, and he said, "Hey, preacher." I said, "What's going on, preacher?" He said, "Everything is good." Hadn't seen him. And then all of a sudden was on this podcast called The Pastor's Corner. And in the midst of the pastor's corner, this man came on by the name of Apostle Smith. And I knew the voice, but I couldn't place it. And so he wanted my number. He wanted my number, and so he was given my number. And he called me, and he says, "Apostle Whitlow, this is Apostle Smith in New Haven, Connecticut. We're having convocation, and the people have heard your voice, and they would like for you to come and minister during our convocation. We wanted to know what it would take for you to come," and so on and so forth. Well, I agreed to come, and about a week later, it dawned on me that Apostle Smith was the same one who preached that message picked out to be picked on. So the next time we spoke, I said, "Do you remember so-and-so bishop in Bridgeport, Connecticut?" Said, "Yeah, I used to preach for him all the time." I said, "Do you remember the time you preached picked out to be picked on and the young man who said and called out your message and you was telling everybody, 'Hey, yeah, you got my message?'" Never said, "Yeah." He said, "That's me." He said, "Oh, my Lord." He said, "That's you?" He said, "It's been this long and we haven't seen each other or anything." And so we were able to fellowship, and I remember that year that I preached during the convocation for him. When I left that night and I got back home to Georgia at the time, I was living in Savannah. He said, when I got back to Savannah, he said, "They've already made a list of preachers for next year's convocation. They said you're the first one they want to come back." I said, "Well, thanks be to God." Well, that was in 2019. I came back. Then it was determined that we were going to have another convocation in 2020. Lo and behold, here comes this pandemic. While all the other assemblies are closing down and not having their gathering, Apostle Vincent L. Smith says, "We're going to have our gathering. It may not be in July, but we're going to have it." It ended up being that year in the month of October. But before all of that, he told us one evening, he said, "Hey, I got a friend who's got a conference call, and you need to join in and listen to this man." This man got to preaching a bad book and a bad chapter with one good verse, Jeremiah 29:11. And that was Bishop Derek Jefferson, and that's how we got connected. He connected us. He connected us, and through that we have created a fellowship and a friendship, and I was able to serve with him while we were able to do some consecrations and affirmations and ordinations and installations. We were able to do this, and he had me right by his side, and because he did not see in the natural, there were things he needed me to do for him. One of the funniest things, though, I will never forget, we was in a Sunday service, closing out convocation. And sometimes because of hearing things, because the sound be loud, you may not hear properly. So he said, "Apostle, come here, Whitlow." He said, "Come here." I said, "Yeah, what's going on?" And he was talking, and I thought I heard him saying, "Take me to the men's room." I thought that's what he was saying. And so we were coming down off of the rostrum area, right? And he said, where are we going? I said, don't you want to go to the restroom? He said, no, I want the drums. I said, oh, okay. I had to take him to the drum set. So one of the greatest things, though, one of the greatest things is he, I, and Bishop Richard, we would get on the phone. Sometimes we would talk after his show, The Voice. We would get on the phone at about 12:30 at night, and we would stay on the phone till 6 o'clock in the morning talking. And the one who would get in trouble the most would be Bishop Richard, because he had a wife waiting for him in bed. Him and I were at the time single, and so we would talk all night. And we would just talk about things pertaining to Bible, things pertaining to manhood, things pertaining to life. We would laugh. We would pray. We would share. And it was a pleasant experience. So I'm saying all of that to say that he was a man who was determined that he was going to do something. If he said, if we told him don't do it this way, he would say, okay. But tomorrow he's going to say, but this is how I'm going to do it anyway. Because he was determined. He wanted it to be the way he wanted it to be, and it couldn't be anything less, or it wouldn't have been him. I thank God for him. Thank God for the wisdom that he shared, for the life he shared. And one more thing. I remember when I had a birthday, I remember that, you know, a whole lot of people did not do a whole lot of sewing for my birthday, and I was okay with it. I was comfortable. As long as I had me some cake and some ice cream, I was good. But I heard my phone go cha-ching, cha-ching. Right, and all of a sudden it said, Apostle Vincent Smith sent you something. Cash. I looked in that Cash App, and I said, "What this man doing? Sending me this? What did he give me an offering?" I called him. I said, "Do you know you sent me?" He said, "Yeah, I wanted to tell you happy birthday, and I wanted to make sure that you understood why I was saying happy birthday." I said, "Well, thank you very much. What a blessing this is. I have no complaints. You want to do it again? Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for him. He will be surely missed, but I know that he has done something that we are yet waiting to do. We still have our weeping for the night, but his joy has come because he has reached his morning time. So because it's his morning time, it is not our morning time. I'm going to leave it at that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary, but I don't want you to go anywhere just yet, because your better half, I hope, is somewhere close by in the room, because that was one of his consecrations and affirmations that took place down in Atlanta. So without further ado, Apostle Felicia Whitlow, I'm trying to remember, I'm going to say flight. It's Whitlow. I got it right. Don't worry. I'm coming for you because I'm sending for you. Are you there?
Don't play with me. You better pray with me.
Jesus.
Lord, I thank the Lord. I thank you guys for allowing me to just speak. I met Apostle Smith last year. It was an unfortunate circumstance, but God turned it in my favor. Yeah. People would never believe the story that I had behind the office. But I praise God and I thank God that when I met the man of God, he welcomed me with open arms. He encouraged me. He encouraged me to keep going when I did not want to go. He encouraged me to keep on. I'm talking about keep on going. I'm telling y'all, when I wanted to throw the towel in, he encouraged me to keep going. One night I was talking to Apostle Smith, and he told me, he said, woman of God, God just told me that you're getting ready to be elevated. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm all right, yeah, He said, no, God said you're an apostle for sure. And I said, say who? He told you to tell me what? He said, God has called you to be an apostle. And it was already prophesied to me before I left Tallahassee, Florida, that God was taking me to another dimension in him. But I had no clue that it was going to be an apostle. So he gave me instruction and to do, and he told me to pray on it, come back to him when I surrender to God's will. It took me a while to get that. But
yeah. Okay. I just
he affirmed
the other day she started drinking liquor.
Hold on a minute, Apostle. If somebody has actual conversation in the background, can you mute yourself, please? Hello? Dr. Kimmy, can you mute that background noise, please, for me? I'd greatly appreciate it. We just want to make sure we hear everybody. You know, we'll unmute them a little bit later. Come on back. Come on, Apostle Willow.
Amen. So God be the glory. So, again, with that, he affirmed me November 13th, 2021, as an apostle. I have not turned back. So it was a joyous occasion to have met him, but now that I know that he's gone on to be with the Lord, I'm rejoicing because I know the road that he has paved for many of us. They said millions didn't make it, but he was definitely one of the ones that did. So
amen.
I thank God that he allowed me to share the few months that I did with him. You guys have more memories than I have. I have his signature on my affirmation. I have his signature on a card that he wrote me. I have his signature on a lot of things that are going to be very, very memorable for me. So, again, Apostle Smith, thank you so much for obeying God. Thank you so much for hearing God's voice.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
also introduced me.
To what?
He introduced me to Esma. That's how I met my husband.
Yes, husband.
Yeah, God. Yes, Lord. I also met my big brother. I know, you know, he called me his little sister, but sometimes I be trying to bow up, you know, like that. But
I have to use
God
her word to come
to
me because I ain't sent for you, but I love her to life. Fight me if you want to, but I'm going to sit there and wait till you get finished. You know me.
Oh, well, I'm a relinquish
now,
my
no, people
okay.
Die, never die.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
You do know that they never died before.
Oh, you know what? I ain't messing with you. Let's move forward. But listen, there is another special individual that is on this line. Oh, my God. Did I just go out? I hope I'm still there. Yeah, I'm still there. There's another special individual that is on this line. I met him literally at the homegoing service, and our spirits connected. There was something about him, and we're on a journey to begin to embrace one another, first of all in the brotherhood, second of all as brothers, last but by no means least, as the best of friends. And I'm prophesying or prophesying, but we'll find out in the days to come. Bishop Corey Best, I know I came to you in the last minute, but I really needed you to come in and to share a word because I know many of us could not speak at the homegoing service. And so in doing this tribute, I wanted people like yourself to have an opportunity and chance to be able to say what would have been on your heart. How you doing today, my brother?
I'm doing well, doing well. Grace and peace to everyone that is on tonight. I don't hold it against you. You treat me like I'm light skinned. That's all right. I remember meeting Apostle Vincent Smith when he was just Overseer Smith. I was a young bishop over the North Atlantic region of my home organization. And we were having our fifth Sunday fellowship up in New Haven at one of the churches. And I said, I'm looking for a preacher. I'm looking for a preacher. And they said, well, Bishop, you preach. I said, no, I want to bring somebody in. And one of the young folks said, well, there's a man on Dixwell Avenue that you need to hear. I said, all right. I said, well, my first question is, we all of us preachers know, first thing we're going to ask is before we invite the person that we want to know, can he preach? And that's just what I asked. I said, well, can he preach? And he said, yeah, he can preach. Well, he came and he preached a message entitled The God That Never Stops. And he preached from the book of Exodus, and he talked from the story of when God brought Israel out of Egypt. And he talked about how God has never stopped putting his seal of approval and his hand over the children of Israel. And he preached us out of this world. Well, we had our district meeting, our regional meeting, and I said, all right, I'm looking for somebody for Friday night. I said, let me call Smith, because by this time we had began a fellowship between our two churches. We had old-time fellowship. We would go to New Haven once a year. They would come to New Jersey once a year. We had that on our schedules. Well, he came that night, that Friday night of our regional conference, and he preached a message entitled, God Does Not Want You to Forget. And he preached from the scripture where Jesus said, I pray that your faith fail not. And he talked from the subject, God does not want you to forget. And he reminded us how to always remember that God is always going to handle whatever we can't handle. He preached us. He was a masterful preacher. He was a homiletician beyond, and I'm a seminary professor, so he was a homiletician beyond some of our wildest dreams. And he preached with passion. He lived with passion. He spoke with passion. And I'm going to miss him. That was my friend. I had the honor when he was made apostle to serve as his co-celebrant. It was an honor to serve. It was an honor for him to be my friend. It was an honor to come and stay at that La Quinta hotel that he always put me in and eat at that diner right across the street that the gentleman apostle was talking about. It was an honor. It was an honor. It was an honor. He would every time he called me, we talked. Even when he first got sick and he first lost his sight, I'd call him and I'd say, "Is this Vincent Leroy?" He said, "Well, who's this?" I said, "This is a sinner that needs saving." "Well, you on the phone with the wrong preacher." he had a way. He wasn't a man about a whole bunch of fluff and drama, but he was a man who loved the people that he served and the people he did not serve. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. As Bishop Jake said at the homegoing of Bishop Kenneth Moles Sr., he said, there is an anointing on this man's life that we will never see again. And I say it about Bishop Apostle Smith. There is an anointing on Vincent Leroy Smith's life that I don't believe we will ever see again. God gave us a man who walked with him, who spoke with him, and who really loved the God that he preached. And so I'm thankful to have this time. As Jesus told the gentleman, he said, all I have to say, you can't bear to hear it now. So I'm thankful. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I'm looking forward to connecting with each and every one of you. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Amen. Lord bless you. Amen. Bishop Best, and I look forward to seeing you at the College of Bishops. We're gonna at least have lunch somewhere in that space. I know there's a lot that needs to be done. Keep us in your prayers. Volume of the book, my brother. I mean, you know, don't worry. God might have picked flower, but he left a couple down here. I might be a tulip, but just hang out with me. I might turn into a rose eventually. So just hang out with him, brother. That's all I could say to you on that. But
Lord have mercy.
To God be the glory. Now, there are so many people on. I'm not sure who all is here. Is there anyone that wants to identify themselves that wants to have a word? And we want to give you your space because we're going to try and make an attempt for 10:30 to then put on the final episode of The Voice that Apostle Smith did before he went to the hospital. And if it don't work, if we're late, it don't matter. It doesn't matter because whether you stay and listen to the message or whatever you decide to do, it's going to be there. And I didn't go on Facebook. I didn't do TikTok. I didn't do no social media because to me, this is a solemn private moment amongst friends and family. And I wanted to keep it that way. Sometimes we get to social media and we want to pomp and circumstance and make everything look nice and pretty. I ain't got time for pretty because we're talking about my spirit. He is my spiritual father by way of the fact that I was his last consecration before the Lord sent him home. So I as much as I don't want to say it this way, this is the way I see it in my eyes right now. I was his last assignment. In that respect,
right, yes. Right,
that
yes.
carries a lot. That carries a lot of weight. A lot yes. of weight.
Yes.
And I promise
yes,
you, I'll get my say somewhere down the line. But is there anybody else that's on the line? Dr. Kimmy Robinson's letting me know that there are a lot of numbers. There are a lot of people that are here, some who have identified themselves, some who choose not to identify yourself. And we respect whatever it is you want to do. But if you want to have words, please take this moment to identify yourself and then go ahead and share.
Blessings, everyone. I'm not going to say much. This is Lady Pastor Yvette. I am Vincent Smith's widow, and
bless.
I just want to say I was very hesitant to come on, because today was a very difficult day for me. I actually woke up this morning because I usually went to go see my husband on Thursdays and Sundays. So I actually woke up this morning really I was just oblivious. I was preparing to go see him, you know, to visit with him as I would do. And it just hit me really, really hard. I'm not in denial or anything like this, but this is hard. It's very hard when you know what you normally do. So I'm going to stop there because the tears are coming and I won't be able to talk further. I don't know if I'll stay on to the end. I don't know if I'll be able to. Just, it's a blessing to hear these wonderful things about him because it is true. And just thank you. So if I do leave the line, it's because it was, somewhat overwhelming. But I just want to say thank you.
Well, Pastor Smith, we bless God for you. Thank you for joining us. And, of course, our hearts are always with you. We understand the relationship that you two shared on both sides of the fence. The important thing right here now is know that his name is still in the mix. God is still doing what he needs to do. And, you can always, we always tell you, you can reach out. Lady Richard is available. You already know that. So at the end of the day, family, and that's all I'm going to say on that, whether it's biological or spiritual, family. Because that's really what we are. Now, there are others who are on. Is there anyone else that desires to have any type of words? And I'm doing this because a lot of us wanted to get at his homegoing service and have our 2 minutes. But the truth of the matter is they had to limit it because if we had let everybody speak, we'd still be going
oh,
right
Jesus.
About now.
Jesus.
All right. Go ahead. Who do we have there? Okay. Now, I know that my pastor, she actually did the eulogy. Bishop Willa Moody, I know she's in the process of doing some recording, and she told me she may not be able to be here. So I told her I would speak on her behalf, and I'm not going to say a whole lot. All I'm going to simply say is this. For those of you that saw the service and for those of you that were in the service, her message said everything. The dance floor has changed. And when you think about it, go ahead. You can elaborate on it. Anybody that's been there or saw it, if you want to say something, that's fine too, because this is conversation right here, right now.
A masterful eulogy.
Yes, I'll tell you,
Bishop Moody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my Lord! What a way to send your bishop home.
Yes.
What a way to send her prelate home.
Yes.
A masterful job.
Yes.
I promise you, she did a marvelous job.
My goodness.
And truth is, if you've never had to bury your pastor, let me explain. The one who is the eulogist, if that person laying in the coffin is your pastor, and you have to eulogize your pastor, your bishop, your leader, your prelate, for many of us, the best therapy we can have is eulogizing our leader. And she took full advantage of that therapy. She did a marvelous job.
Yes.
I think I'm going to bring her to New Jersey, and I want to hear her on otherwise circumstances.
Amen. She did an awesome job. There. Make sure you keep me in the loop.
You better do that.
I got to support my pastor, you know. They're the ones that birthed me into ministry, believe it or not. Her and the late Maddie Atkinson-Darden, they were the ones that birthed me into. Okay, Pastor Henderson, I do have you on the list, and like I said, I'm trying to hold you as long as I can because I want to make sure we get everybody in. I know you got something to say, so give me one more chance here to check one more time. Is there anybody else that desires to have a word? Nobody else? Okay. Well, let me go this route. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, from the radio perspective, I need you to step forward, and then Pastor Henderson, and then I'll have the last say, not necessarily a benediction. We can take up a collection and dismiss the church, but I think we'll just hear a word from apostles, if y'all don't mind.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to say it was an honor to serve Apostle Smith, such a wonderful man in the Lord, so wise. My favorite part, I love the way he talks. Mm-hmm. always says he's an old man in a young man's body. But
you got that right.
I love his laughter. I love his love for God, his love for his family, friends. Most importantly, he walked the walk. He was a good person. So he was always consistent, very helpful, always, you know, he never, you know, made me feel like an underdog because I'm behind the scenes. And so I will miss him. But I'm going to continue on airing his show on Tuesday. So you're welcome to chime in on next Tuesday. But he got his wings, and now he is at rest, so I will miss my brother, but I will see him again. Shalom.
Amen. Shalom, shalom. And I'm going to bring up Pastor Anna Henderson, longtime friend of Apostle Smith. And, you know, it was an honor to meet this great woman of God the first time I ever heard her preach. I said, how does so much dynamite explode out of that little body? I have no idea. But it was an honor to meet you. Pastor Henderson?
Amen. Peace to each one on the line tonight. Amen. I thank God for the opportunity to be on tonight to say something about my friend, mentor, and brother. You know, I've known Apostle Smith for over 5 years, and, you know, in the time that I've known him, he has always been the same. He's always been humble. He's always been down to earth, an anointed vessel of God. Amen. He's always had that preacher's voice. Even when he was a teenager, he always had that voice. And I just thank and praise God. He was truly a true friend to me. And, you know, we met each other at a youth service many years ago, and we were friends ever since that service. And down through the years, he has always been a committed friend. He's always been there. And not only to me, but to my family. He knew my parents. He knew my siblings. Amen. And even though we were distant as far as location-wise, we still stayed in touch. We still ministered together. We were able to just do things together in the Lord. And I thank and I praise God for the friendship. There will never be another Apostle Smith. He was truly a dynamic man of God. He preached the word. He loved God. He loved God's people. He served humbly. He has been a big impact in my life down through the years. Just wise counsel concerning ministry. I can say that he has never told me anything that was not of wise counsel. So I thank God for his wisdom. I thank and I praise God, amen, for the friendship. And he really was a close friend to my youngest brother. They were truly brothers, and they could get on the phone and talk and laugh. So he's truly going to be missed among my family, my sisters. I just thank God for his legacy. I thank and I praise God for the friendship all these years. Amen, that we continue to stay friends. Amen. I just praise God. He's impacted my life in so many ways, and I could go on and on and on and just talk about the great things, amen, that he's done and the memories that we have shared. And he's truly going to be missed. And I thank God for the opportunity to be blessed with a friend. Amen. As a prophet, now, truly, I can say he is the friend of a true friend and a brother in my life. And I say shalom. Hey. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Well, unless there's anyone else that has anything they need to say, we're going to bring this portion to a close. And Dr. Kimmy Robinson, after I've had my say and I personally sign off, the next thing I want to hear is the show, the very last show that Apostle Smith did prior to having to go to the hospital. I'm going to simply say this. There's so much I can say, so much. Apostle Smith and I have been since 1982. Oh, actually, late 81, early 82. I met him on Newhall Street when Morningstar was having their convocation. And in meeting him, you know, I recall those days. And, I mean, that church used to have, and somebody said it at his homegoing service, and that the choir, and he was an avid lover of the late Timothy Wright. And, I mean, all you had to do was give him a Timothy Wright song, and he will walk up and down the East Coast with that song. He just would. Yeah. Some of you got to experience a song that he actually wrote, Your Misery is Your Ministry. And I'm going to tell you honestly, there are so many things we don't know about him. I have to be the one, and I can share this with you. When we first met, I kind of knew, I didn't know how of the caliber of person he was, but when I first met him and I was being introduced to him, we started ministry the same year, 1986. We got licensed the same year. I got licensed on July 14th of 1986. He got licensed on July 26th of 1986. But he moved a lot faster than I did, but he was a lot younger than I was, too. So, you know, I'm not saying that I couldn't move because of age. I'm just simply saying that this brother, when God gave him something to do without hesitation, he moved forward like nobody's business. I know, and he didn't have a problem with it. I remember one time we were standing outside of Morningstar when they were on Newhall Street. And, you know, we were laughing and joking and carrying on. And then when I turned around, I said, Smith, I don't know what you're going to do, but I think you need to go back in there and get back on the altar. Smith says, come here, come here. He turns around. He says, what? And he put his hand on my forehead. He said, come out, come out, come out. He said, get back in there, get back in there. I tend to think he didn't like me telling that story. Suddenly, my phone goes out. Anyway.
Yeah, I see.
The bottom line is there's a friend, a brother, a confident. Yes. I mean, when Apostle Whitlow already told the story, we have had conversations, especially after, and whether it was The Voice or The Pastor's Corner or Making Marriage, man, on a Saturday, we having these late night conversations. We got to get ready for church in the morning. That didn't matter.
Yes.
Here's his word. Well, whatever God gives you to preach, you gonna preach. So don't worry about it. Y'all know that raspy voice.
Yeah, right.
But that
he
was probably say him.
That sound like he got a cold all the time.
I'm gonna tell you honestly, and when some of the people I introduced him to, they said, "How old is he?" I said, "Well, he's about 10, 12 years younger than I am." They said, "He sound like he's been here forever, ever." Well, you know, when you're around that caliber of people, because it's not like he was around some people that, you know, didn't have wisdom, understanding, that didn't know the Spirit of God, the power of God, the anointing that flows. He was around some powerful people, you know. And I can talk about a few of them. And then when he go to the College of Bishops, he made his mark there, too, because when they say the bishop that was blind, you know, everybody knew who he was talking about. So it is something that you could be, and I started out this whole conversation talking about the Gospel of John chapter 12 and verse 24. If you stop and think about it, everybody that had anything to say on tonight's podcast were people that were brought together either by him or in the presence of him. You know, and I'm just honored to know each and every one. Well, Dr. Green, you and I go back about as far, because I remember back in the day in revival, a dance machine.
Yes.
That's why I say it. Some things just never change.
Lord.
But
yes.
The bottom line is simply this. I am honored to know every one of you, and I thank you for taking the time to come on here. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr. This is the Open Mic. We want to thank each and every one of you, our listeners, for spending this time with us as we pay tribute to a great man of God, a legend in his own right, a general in the army of the Lord, the late Vincent L. Smith. We're going to relinquish the rest of this time to a service, to a show that he did, his last show. I think it took place, if I'm not, help me out with this, Dr. Robinson, I believe his last show was in late August, early September or something like that, if I'm not mistaken.
No, July the 9th.
It was?
July the 9th.
Okay. July 9th was his, wow, that far back. He ended up in the hospital in early September and just never came home, although there were two times we thought he was going to make it. But, you know, I'm just so honored to have had time to spend with him. I'm just honored to have time to get to know each and every one of you. I mean, Bishop Jefferson, Bishop Corey Best, and, of course, Apostle Whitlow, you and I go back about almost close to 30 years in this day and age. But having that fellowship when the three churches would come together on the prayer line, we've had some Holy Ghost times, even on the prayer line at 12 o'clock. We supposed to get off the prayer line, go from 12 to 1, and we end up getting off the prayer line 2:30, sometimes 3 o'clock. I mean, can you be said? I'm going to severely miss him. And let me tell you just this last piece, and then I'm going to turn it in your hands, Dr. Kimmy. Being his last assignment for consecration, I was trying to figure out why he didn't do the traditional consecration that most bishops get done. God had him do something different. And the crazy part was that if you all got to see my picture on my page, I'm standing there with the shepherd's staff. He transferred that staff to me on that day, and I had no idea why he was transferring it to me, but God did. I tend to think Apostle Smith knew ahead of time that his time was short.
He knew.
If you didn't get a chance to... Yeah, I believe he did. And in transferring that staff to me.
I know. Go ahead. And Bishop Richards, just to correct, he didn't go in September. He went in July 31st, but he was back and forth between, July 34th. He was in there 6 months. He was back and forth between the hospital and the rehab, back and forth, back and forth. But the actual date was July 31st. And I just want you to know, and I'm going to say this, you know me, truth with love, I had to make it clear that
my husband told me specifically. He told me specifically, he said, I want you to know that I gave my staff to Richard. And I said, why did you do that? I said, you know what it means, of course, and we went through a lot to get it for you. And his exact words to me, he said that, I said, you mean you let him use it for that day? And he said, no, he said that I gave it to him. And I said, okay, but why did you do that? And he said, because I won't be needing it anymore. And I said, what do you mean you won't be needing it anymore? He said that I won't be needing it anymore. So I will say that to you. This is what he told me. And I am your witness that he told me that, and he told me it on, and I remember it, and I will continue to remember it. And I had to let the family know that I know what he told me specifically, that he gave it to you. It was not to, it wasn't a borrow thing or fill in. So I just want you to know that. Maybe that's why I needed to be up here tonight, to set the record straight, because I'm sure there may be some that are not in agreement, but I know what he told me. And he told me distinctly that he passed it to you, and that date that he told me was July 28th. And then on July 31st was when he went into the hospital and never came back out. So God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for the correction. I appreciate that. And I also appreciate the fact that the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. You now have become the official third witness. Third witness. And see, there is a significance to that transferring of that staff. Now, we men, black men especially, and I'm trying to get to his message, but I want to put this out there. We as black men, over the years and back in the generation, especially the older school, our fathers, forefathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers used to pass the baton, you know, to the firstborn son or to the next one who is to carry that baton. That transformation is significant of a work that's being transferred. And regardless of where that work goes, always remember, and it's not in the staff, it's in the sleeper of that staff.
Amen.
The significance is there hasn't been a transfer of power, because we can transfer power, but only in God's timing. But when God is giving you an assignment, he'll begin to transfer. Yes. You start pouring into every last one of us leaders, and I believe Bishop Jefferson and Bishop Best, Apostle Whitlow, you'll all agree with me with this. We all have to shape, make, and mold and prepare a Joshua to take the next generation to the next dimension. And whoever that individual is, we have to keep them close by us, mentor them, help them to model and then multiply. And I believe this is what God is doing in this day and age. He's restoring what has been sort of kind of taken away from the church at large. I'm not saying they're all crooked bishops, apostles, overseers, and people like that. But what I am saying is what we have put to the side, God is bringing back into restoration, because Jesus is soon to come. The transferring in that moment, and I didn't understand it. I'm going to tell you like this, and Bishop Richardson said it the best when he turned around and preached at my consecration. He turned around and he said, just because you become a bishop doesn't mean you know everything. There is a training that begins in the moment accept that call. And so, you know, as I'm probably the baby on this group in terms of the bishops and apostles, I don't mind being the baby, because you know what? If the baby can gather all the information from you older folk, I should be that much better. The Lord bless each and every one of you. Thank you, every one of you, for coming on, for being here. Without further ado, I'm not going to sign off. I'm going to simply say, Sister Kimmy Kim, And for those of you that want to stay, you're welcome to stay and listen. For those of you that do hang up, we thank you for coming on. We love you. You're always in our prayers. And if we can be of any type of help to you, any type of blessing, call. If we can't get it done, we'll try to find somebody that will. I'm Bishop Ernest Richard for Open Mic with the Bishop. And I say to you, God's peace and the very best that he has already offered in his son continually be part of your everyday living. Dr. Kimmy Robinson. The floor belongs to you.
When you want something real and to have a good time, put a smile on your face, yeah, KB Cam and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Sherry Murdoch. As I look out in the world, troubles are the same. I'm gonna fall down on my knees and call on Jesus' name. Now I'm here to testify how he brought me through. What God did for me, he'll do the same for you.
The Lord, he worked it out.
Yes, he
for
did.
Without a doubt.
Without a
the
doubt.
Lord has set me free.
Gave me
gave
the victory.
Me the Lord has made a way.
Made a
and
way.
And made up my
yes, he did.
Oh, yes, I made it through the storm.
There was a time when my life was very hard. Found myself locked out in the cold.
But God told me that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now I can rejoice and shout, my God has worked it out.
Worked it out.
Yes, he did.
He worked it out.
He set me free. Gave me the victory.
He
healed my body. Make me whole.
He
brought me out. And he saved my soul. I will give.
Here,
Jesus, just here,
right
on time.
Work it out.
Came
Hey, I was wondering, do you know if Apostle Smith is coming out today?
I have no idea. I thought he was on. I was waiting for him to say something.
No, he's not on.
I know I'm traveling. I'm traveling at the moment. How you doing today?
Okay. I'm good. How about you?
Well, trying to make my way back. Had a rather fulfilling and exciting day. I finally went to go try on my garments for the bishopric. And I tell you, it's a very humbling experience when you put that stuff on and you see yourself in a mirror, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's really something.
So you don't cause any harm to yourself. Maybe this could be a time where you probably fell asleep.
Well, he may have. Try to give it a couple of minutes before we, because you played about 3 or 4 songs already.
Yeah, I have. Normally he's early, so.
Well, yeah, and he may have fallen asleep, and that's okay. Those things happen. So, I mean, I didn't get a chance to hear any of the hot topics of the day. Maybe you have. You want to fill me in?
Huh?
I said I didn't get a chance to see any of the hot topics of the day. I'm thinking maybe you might want to fill me in on the hot topics of the day.
I don't have any hot topics. What's going on?
Well, I didn't get a chance to see. Well, I can't say that it's a hot topic because I can't verify it. Doesn't make sense to talk about something you can't verify just yet. You know what I mean? But I have to figure that part out.
Yeah.
Uplifting lives one day at a time. Kimmy Kim and Elations Radio. They're here to get your day going fine. Kimmy Kim and Elations Radio. Kimmy Kim and Elations Radio. Kimmy Kim and Elations Radio.
And here's your host, Miss Kim Robinson.
Give me a heart that's tender like
able to stand in the toughest winter.
I did hear tonight that a prophet by the name of Prophet Levitt. Amen. I got this from the Daystar. Amen. A prophet Levitt, a Jewish prophet, prophesied China would be first in finding a control over this corona episode, and then America would be next, and then it would go across the world, and the corona would no longer exist. Well, I want you, my friend, amen, to just hold fast to that. You can't make prophecy work, amen. You have to wait till it comes to pass. And so we bless our God, amen, that we believe the report. Amen. And as it is spoken, amen, so shall it be. And we give God's name the praise. Glory to God. You want to say something,
Oshia? Oh, no, I was just sitting there listening to you, and it's an amazing thing that comes to my mind. Even as you said what you just said, it wasn't but just a few days ago that it was said that China has a potential cure for coronavirus, and they're working on that as we speak. Now, whether that's true or not, only time will tell. But I choose to believe the words of the prophet, believing that he hears from the Lord. And I will say this, I agree with him. I'm looking, and this is Ernest 1 and 1. I'm not gonna say I'm not a prophet. When God allows me to, I do, but you know, I'm just gonna say around mid to late April, we may see the lifting of this ban and whatever else, this other stuff they got going on, and there's going to be a quote-unquote level of earthly normalcy that's going to come back to us. So, you know, we're looking to the hills when we're coming to our help anyway, recognizing that help comes from the Lord. You've got a lot of praying saints out there, and God does hear the prayers of the righteous. So if we're praying for the lifting of the plague, but, you know, Apostle, I was looking at something just the other day, and I want to try to, if you don't mind, I know we're going in a different direction, but there was something that I was paying close attention to. I want to do this in the King James Version as opposed to the Message Bible or the Easy to Read, because people don't believe. God had already spoke this to Solomon when Solomon came and prayed before the Lord and sought God's face. You know when he dedicated the temple and everything of that nature?
Right.
He had a lot to say, and a lot of us are quick to read 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, but many of us run right past what verse 13 says, and it's kind of crazy. As a matter of fact, let me do it in the Amplified Bible. Verse 13 has this to say, and I found it rather interesting. God said, no, let me start at 12. I know we're going someplace else, so just bear with me for 12 seconds.
No, we're just talking for a minute, but it's good stuff.
Oh. Okay. It says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Here's the verse that I wanted to pay attention to, and I guess I'm like everybody else. I bypass it, but I couldn't bypass it today. It says, if I shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or if I command locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence and plague among my people. And then he goes on to say, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, crave, require as necessity my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear them from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. You know what that said to me in essence? A, number one, God answers the prayers of the righteous. God, number two, lets you know that he's in total control. He can either shut off the rains, close up the heavens. He can command insects to come and destroy crops, or he can allow pestilence. And if I'm not mistaken, I think coronavirus is pestilence. I could be wrong. I'm just saying. But then he turns around. He offers an antidote. He says, if my people humble themselves and seek his face as if it were required and of necessity, and turn from their wicked ways, then he'd heal the land. So God's offering us, he's giving us a package right there. I mean, you know how we call it a severance package? You got a severance package from the corona disease if you'll just pay attention. All we got to do is humble ourselves, seek his face, and turn from the wickedness of our ways. I thought that was rather interesting. So I'm going to stop right there only because of the fact that I'm thinking Apostle Whitlow is with us. I'm not sure. I thought I heard him. No, I didn't hear him, huh?
I think he's having trouble with the mute.
Yeah, well, let's pray he's not having trouble with that mute button. All right, but let's move on. The bottom line, you know, the beauty of it is he is here. He is here. Okay. There he is. Go ahead, Apostle, Chief Apostle.
He's in?
He is here.
Bless you, man of God.
The Lord bless you, my friend, my brother. Thank God for an opportunity to be here with you. Excuse the lateness. Just ran into some things that kind of slowed me down but couldn't keep me from getting here because it's the voice. I've been waiting to hear the voice.
Amen.
We were just sharing. We were not wasting time. We were just encouraging the people of God not to be caught up and fearful and all bound up with the corona. God has already, he's already promised that we're covered. And so let us keep moving and keep going forward in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Chief Apostle,
I'm going to need you to pray for your vice apostle there. I just happened to go on Facebook, like right now, setting up for our social media broadcast, and his picture pops up with his little smiley self. He says, I just had to get some fresh air. I started to grab a Corona, then I remembered, I don't drink.
Lord help us. Lord help us tonight. People of God, as you see, I deal with two that forget to take their medicine before they get on the air. Lord have mercy. Listen, for the last few weeks, we have been in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Beginning at verse number 11, we want to go back tonight, first of all, in an overview of what has already been discussed, and then we're looking to go another further. Amen. Our overview tonight will be given to us by Apostle Whitlow. Amen. Our prayers will first be given to us by Overseer Richard.
Amen. Let us pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, first and foremost, we give honor. We give glory. We give adoration and praise. We exalt your name, God. We look to the hill from which cometh our help. Thank you for this another day that you have blessed us to see. God, we love you so much because you first loved us. Thank you for this chance and this opportunity to come into your presence, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the opportunity to have a chance to share a word with this audience, Father, those who, the hundreds, the thousands, and even the millions who may be listening to us at this present point in time. God, we do not cease to give thanks for who you have been and what you have been in our lives. And therefore, God, you told us if any two shall touch and agree is touching any one thing, God, you said you would do it. God, we call upon you this morning, this afternoon, this evening, wherever the people may be listening, that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits. Come, God, and just download into the hard drive of our spirit the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, the illumination, and the revelation it's going to take to receive this word. We bind every spirit and we cast out every demon that may distract and take away from the learning of the people. We command you now in the name of Jesus to go back to the pits of hell from whence you came. We loose angels to run up and down and throughout these entire airwaves and through social media, stopping and every progress of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. God, we want you to have your way. God, break up the fountains of the deep. Let these great men of God come forward with the word that you have placed in their mouths, Father God, that it would minister to the hearers and be grace and be seasoning and be the quenching of the thirst that these people may have. Father, if we found any favor in thy sight whatsoever, God, grant us these things, and we'll be ever so careful to give thy name the praise. But we pray this prayer by faith in the mighty, matchless, majestic name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Amen. Apostle Whitlow.
Amen. So we have been in this Second Chronicles, the fifth chapter, dealing with verses 11, 12, and parts of 13. What we have determined or discovered in the past few weeks is, first of all, that the priests had sanctified themselves because they understood that something great was about to happen. And anytime we want to see something great from the Lord, we have to sanctify ourselves, which brings me to today's time. What we are facing right now, we need a move of God. So the people of God, because we are a royal priesthood, we need to sanctify ourselves so we can see what God will do. They had separated themselves from everything that defiles, and it didn't make a difference about their rank. So it doesn't make a difference if you're an apostle or a bishop or an elder or a minister or a prophet or just a layman. You have to sanctify yourself so that God can move. The next thing we looked at was the Levites, who were the praisers, the singers. We discovered that this was a family thing. They were involved together with their sons and kinsmen. They did this thing together to show the togetherness of family when it comes to worshiping God and what it should look like. We looked at they were arrayed in fine linen, meaning that they were uniformed in what their attire was. And we looked at how there are many people who no longer have an attire when they come to the house of the Lord because they wear just anything which does not please God. We talked about the symbols, how they bring a particular ringing to involve God in our affairs. Look at harps and lyres, the sounds that they make. Amen. And so we're about to get to the next phase, which says that they stood at the east end of the altar. That's where we are right now. They stood at the east end of the altar. Come on, Chief Apostle.
Amen. And we see as we close out that portion this week talking about the preparation of worship. Amen. It said they stood at the east end of the altar. Any of you that have done any biblical study, you know that the east end of the altar represents the place of prayer. It represents the place of prayer, even when it said, hold on to the horns of the altar. The horns all went to the east. And we need to understand that in the midst of all of this, all this sanctification, all this wonderful uniform, we must to God. I think we have forgotten how important prayer is before service gets going. I'm not talking about the pulpit prayer. I'm not talking about altar prayer. I'm talking about back in the day when the choir had to have prayer before they marched in. The ministers had to have prayer with the pastor before they walked out the office. The deacons and mothers would have prayer. Amen. So that the Lord would keep their eyes sharp so they could see if the enemy was trying to come in and destroy the service. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, we got to have some prayer people.
Amen.
Not just people walking straight in the church, 20 minutes late, right up to a microphone. You're not conditioned. You're not ready. Amen. Then you get up there, you're smiling and grinning. You done took the whole presence the wrong way.
Come on.
Prayer is an essential. Prayer is an essential. I'm going to say it one more time. Prayer is an essential to everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In regards to worship and the work in the house of God. Somebody talk.
Amen. Well, listen, you are so right. The Bible makes it clear that in everything we are to pray. In everything. See, but what we do is we say, oh, well, you know, I prayed when I left home. I prayed before I got to service. But so many things have happened between the time you left home and got to service. Sometimes people be in their vehicle and they have issues going on, so that what happened at home now doesn't equate to what is necessary for God to do, because they came in and came in without the attitude of prayer, recognizing the need for God to deliver and move so that things could work. Sometimes people cannot get answers. They cannot get their healing or deliverance because those who are leading the service aren't in the right place. And this is why we find a lot of people who preach use the pulpit as a battleground. They're throwing off on people. People who do praise and worship, throwing off on people. You're talking about, oh, well, you know, I had a dream. I had a dream. I saw a dark cloud over the people. And the reality, the dark cloud you saw had nothing to do with the people, but it represents the sin that's in your life that you don't want to look at, so you want to put it on somebody else. Because why? You won't come to the altar and repent and pray and get things right. Matter of fact, and you talked about this before, Chief Apostle, that there was a time you couldn't serve God, you couldn't do praise and worship, or you couldn't play the instruments or sing in the choir unless you were saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. See, but in today's time, that is something of the past, because it's now more about entertainment more than ministry, and this is why we have so many issues. I can't even tell you the amount of people I have seen that will walk into a service. They don't go into the pastor's office, and they come straight on the pulpit, and when they get there, they'll sit down, and they don't even get on their knees and pray when they walk up there. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not how we came up. As a matter of fact, even if we didn't go up to the rostrum, even if we sat in the audience, we did not even sit down unless we prayed first. Why? Because we wanted to make sure that God was going to do what he was going to do. I can't tell you the amount of times I've been into a place and prayed before I sat down, and because something wasn't right, I had to go back outside and pray and change the atmosphere outside. I then come back in so that God could do something on the inside. Listen, prayer is essential to a major move of God. Amen, Chief Apostle.
Yes, sir. Overseer.
Amen. Overseer had to step away for a brief moment. He was having connection troubles. Amen. He'll be back shortly.
Let me say this. Amen. In regards to that you were pouring out just then, what has happened in the house of God? We allowed people to just gather. And they come in now hugging each other and talking about stuff that don't even matter, and holding the conversations and just about yelling across the church and all this kind of stuff. We were not allowed to do that years ago.
That's true.
Somebody said, oh, he keep talking about years ago. Well, the same God that was prevalent in the midst of us then is the same God that want to be prevalent in the midst of you all, but you won't do what it takes. And I declare unto you, we can walk this book tonight. I will show you page by page. Every time there was a move of God, it was birthed through prayer.
Yes.
You can't deny it. You can't shake it. You can't discuss it. I don't care. You can't fuss it away. Amen. The Bible declares, amen, every time that there was a move of God, there was prayer first.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And if you don't understand why your ministry, where you are, can't get no further than where you go, ask yourself, did I pray today?
Oh, my.
Or did I just walk in and started doing things? Matter of fact, let me back up. Ask yourself, was I on time?
All right.
I heard that.
You're going to deal with
time. A lot of us done forgot punctuality. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Back in the day, if you wasn't there by the time the choir marched in, you wouldn't tell
you didn't say. That's the truth. That's the truth.
I'm not talking about strictness. I'm talking about good church order so God can be glorified.
Mm-hmm.
But on this issue of prayer, you think about it. If everybody that had to play a role in our services, I'm not even just going to say Sunday morning. Could be prayer meeting, could be Bible study. But if everybody that was going to have an intricate role in our services was to do it with prayer first, oh, my God, what do you think we would see?
Hmm. Mm.
Talk to me, overseer.
Well, you know what? And it's amazing that you put that comment out there. There was a time, and I know I am reiterating what was already said, but the approach I'm going to take is pretty much the same that you just put out there. Think back in the days when you could not come into the sanctuary with any old kind of conversation. You could not come into the sanctuary talking about what happened on a football game last night or a basketball game or a baseball game or maybe some major event took place. You came in, and before they started this praise, the thing called praise and worship, nowadays they use music so that they would kind of keep the ambiance of the, you know, of the atmosphere. But back in those days, we didn't have music to keep the ambiance. All we had was our quietness. You opened your Bible. If you wanted to go to the altar, you went to the altar. And a lot of revival used to break out in Sunday morning services. We've missed a lot of that because now we have become so sophisticated. We're so high up on the ladder now, you know, we can kind of bypass. And it's an amazing thing that back in those days, the pastors would take place in what would be there and participate in what was called a devotional service. They didn't spend all day in their office and wait till somebody knocked on their door like they were some type of movie star and then waltz them down the aisle with doggone four bodyguards, somebody else carrying the briefcase and somebody carrying the silver platter with the juice in it in the goblet. They ain't have all that. They walk in, they come, they get into service, and I recall times, even myself, where we had service, we start, the praise was so high, the preacher just started preaching. They just went right, skip all the preliminaries. I couldn't even say the word. But the preacher would just start preaching. We have to get back to the days of yay and nay, if I could use that phrase. We have to get back to the days where, you know, we sought the face of God. We have to get back to the days where God was the most important. And it didn't start when we got to the sanctuary, brothers, and I'm going to hold my thought process at the end of this statement. It didn't start when we got to the sanctuary. It started for most of us the night before. I don't know about you guys, but my old school self used to shut down around 8, 9 o'clock at night. And from that time up until the end of service time, in my book, that was God's time. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now watch this, though. Watch this. I'm going to tell you what else. And I know we're talking about preparation for worship and getting ready to go to another piece. But something hit me while you were talking.
Uh-huh.
What happened to noonday prayer?
I'll tell you what happened. People have become more interested in making money than spending time in prayer. Because that used to be, if you will, what kept the presence of the Lord in the service or in the house, because someone was always there praying. Even if you had a faithful few, you knew you could count on them. You knew you could see a miracle. You knew somebody was being healed because the power of prayer was consistent. As a matter of fact, the two most powerful services the church offers is prayer meeting and Bible study. And when these two things are neglected, people start missing out on the power of God and the power of manifestation. That's why we don't see the miracles. That's why we don't see the healing. That's why we don't see deliverance. I can tell you, there have been times from praise and worship service that nothing else could take place, because the praise team were with one accord. The musicians were with one accord. And while the musicians were ushering in the presence of God, the praise team was welcoming the presence of God, and the people were following because they were in the same frame of mind, but that's because they were praying. They were praying. There are some, matter of fact, there is a pastor that I know, a bishop I know right now in the state, in the Bridgeport, Connecticut, on his church bulletin on a Sunday morning, it says these words. It says, talk to God before the service. He will talk to you during the service. You can talk to others after the service. And ever since I learned those words, I found it to be most true. You can't really hear from God when your mind ain't on him. Your mind is on everything else, what you going to eat, what you going to drink, what you going to watch, who going to hang out with and all this. You ain't been praying. You just want to hang out with somebody. Listen, the church is not a social club, a place to come and meet people and hang out. It is the place where you are empowered for service, but in order to get empowered, you got to give God the matter of fact, thank you, Holy Ghost. Prayer is your check-in. Let me say it again. Prayer is the way you check. It's the way you clock in. When you go to work, you got to clock in. That says, I'm here, I'm ready. That's what prayer does. Prayer says, Lord, I'm here, and I'm ready for what you want to do with me and through me and for me and then some. Okay, that's what I had to say on that wise.
let's listen at this, brothers. So amidst sanctifying, which means to clean and get yourself in a place with God that you can be used.
Uh-huh.
Both the priests, singers, and musicians all sanctified themselves.
Mm-hmm.
All of them came out in their various uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bible said that they had on white linen ephods.
Uh-huh.
And said they blew, they hit cymbals, blew trumpets, and stood at the east end of the altar. Now, wait a minute now. If we done did all this sanctified and this, that, and the other, then why must we wait in a place of prayer?
Can I take a small stab at that one, Chief Apostle, if you don't mind?
Stab it.
Anybody that pays any attention to the cycles of life in general and pays attention to the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, we all know that the sun rises in the east, and it's a representation of a new beginning, a fresh start. And so I would believe that these priests in their uniforms, having taken the time to sanctify themselves, have now placed themselves in a position where they're ready to make a fresh start. We don't know what the practice was prior to reading what we read in this chapter, but one thing we do know for sure, the seriousness of all of these priests and these Levites and all those who were involved after Solomon. David took the time to bring them together, we saw their seriousness, and we knew that they were ready for a fresh start in God. What does that say for us today, Chief Apostle? Are we ready for a fresh start in God? Are we honestly ready for a new beginning in him? We've done it our way for how long? And to what degree has it brought, what has it done for us to this present point in time? I love the prosperity message, but I'm sorry. We have gotten away from our first works. I believe honestly that we need to be on the east end of the altar of our hearts and seek God's face for a new beginning. That's all I wanted to add in there.
Well watch this. Watch this. A myth of prayer being the essential thing. In the midst of prayer being an obvious thing, listen at what the text says. That they stood at the east end of the altar. That meant they just didn't pray. They waited for direction.
Amen.
They didn't have that little prayer and give each other that and then turn around to the mic and sung everything they practiced.
Instead,
they stood at the east end of the altar waiting for direction. And when the direction came, now we're going to take y'all over. Amen to the next verse. Because we can't show you what happened unless we go further.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
The last few weeks we've been talking about preparation for worship. Now tonight we will show you what happened after preparation. We will show you tonight. Are you, when you're ready for God's move, this is what's supposed to happen. Somebody read it.
All right. Here's what happens. It says, and all the Levites who were singers, all of those of Asaph, Heman, Gedgethon, with their sons and kinsmen arrayed in fine linen, having cymbals, harps, and lyres, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets. And when the trumpeters and singers who were joined in unison, the King James Version says, when they were as one, making one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and other instruments for song and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever, then thou...
Hold it right there. I want to go back to a couple of things. Amen. In the King James Version, it said, and it came even to pass. When we first got into this teaching, verse 11 said, and it came to pass.
All right.
So that means that this verse now says we're getting ready to go deeper. Says, and it came even to pass. This is another level of what happened, because it said, and it came even to pass.
All right.
Yeah.
We're not getting ready to deal with the same thing. We're getting ready to show you how God can show up. If you do the first part first, then God will show up in the midst of you.
Amen.
All right.
So, we see here in this text, amen, that not only did it come even to pass, but it said they began to bless God. Singers, musicians, and I like what that version said. It said in unison. Unison really is a musical terminology. meaning to sing on one note.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning everybody carry out the alto line, tenor line, whatever line that is. Everybody's going to be on the one note.
Mm-hmm.
Until there is a direction for a change.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I feel it sneaking up now. Lord, have mercy. Listen at this. What we need to understand is if we stop being so fast coming into God's house with a preconceived notion of what's going to happen. Oh, I can't wait till we sing this. We're going to rock the house with that. And that might be the worst song you sang that day.
Uh-oh.
See, we can't come before God with a preconceived idea.
Mm-hmm.
We must practice. We must get songs together. But we must remain open.
Amen.
To the moves of God.
Okay.
What if God want to drop a song straight from heaven that ain't nobody never heard? What, we all going to stand there and look stupid?
Jesus.
We're supposed to be so in tune, first of all, in a oneness with God.
Mm-hmm.
Then in a oneness with each other.
Amen.
That no matter how the flow of the anointing go, I didn't say the service, because sometimes the service is so jacked up, we just need to shut down sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But the flow of the Spirit of God, if we can tap into the true flow of God, we will begin to witness what we're about to see in this text.
So, Chief Apostle.
Yes, sir.
You mean to tell me that we can't put God's service on a program? Is that what you're saying?
Not if you
can't put his service. We can't put his service on a program.
Not if you want him truly in charge.
So wait a minute. Why are these people having all these programs then? With all these programs coming from, this is not God.
Can I answer that one? I need to answer that one. And there are good ways to do things and bad ways to do things. Most of the time, these programs are put in place as basic fundraisers, and they've missed the mark of ministering to the masses that come in. We hear a nice song. We have a cute little praise. We hear a nice song. We get a momentary emotionalism. We hear a word that tickles our fancy. We turn around and spend 15 minutes taking up a collection, and then we go home. I don't know what's happened to us over the years, but I look back in, and I'm going to go back. I've been saved since March 3rd, 1980, and I recall revivals where they didn't even have to raise money because people just gave. They had the basket sitting on the side, but we went on and we had CHURCH in a big way, where the presence of God was there. So I'm going to say this to you, Whitlow. A lot of them were in it for the cash flow. I'm sorry. I just got to be honest about it. A lot of them are doing it for the cash flow. They're not doing it because they have a heart for souls, or they're because they want to see people's lives change, or they want to get together and pray and fellowship in the Spirit and allow the power of God to come in and to move in the midst of his people. I like an old song the Carpenters used to sing, "Endow me with the power of the Holy Ghost." And if I'm going into a service and I can receive an endowment of the power of anointing, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's all I need to say about that.
Now, watch this. They used to teach program was for basic follow-through. But most churches that have since, we were always taught when the Spirit manifested, the program was over. Now, a lot of churches didn't do that because a lot of pastors taught, follow the program. I don't care if them people out there hollering or what. I put you up here to follow the program. Well, then we don't need God then. We don't need his presence. We don't need him to come in and touch nobody. We don't need him to lift nobody's spirit. We don't need him to turn nothing around, break no yoke, destroy no yoke. We don't need God. If the program is going to be what's in charge, then we don't need God. I'll never forget more than 40 years ago, my father stood in the pulpit on Newhall Street and ripped the program up because we could never follow through. That's how strong the power of God would come to our church.
Amen.
So he stood up. He stood up and said, look, we're not wasting no more money making these. He said, God does something else in this church. He ripped his program up and threw it up in the air like confetti. It was over. When he did that, people were falling out on the floor, everything. I'm telling you, the power of God, the power of God came in that place. So, you know,
my
when we... There are some things that are necessary. It should not be concrete. It should not be, this is the way and this is the only way. So
you've
got to be careful with that, because when you do that, you don't leave no room for God.
Sure don't.
I heard a woman of God say, I heard a woman of God say on the Word Network, she said, you know, she said, the Lord done blessed me. Now I have some friends that are sort of out there and everything. And she said everybody she was hooking up with was talking about these 90-minute services. She said, so she went back to her church and told the folk, well, we're going to try and move in to these 90-minute services, because that seems to be what everybody's doing nowadays. Well, she got into it, but as she went along, there was no move of God. Her church started dying. People weren't coming out to church like they used to. Said one day in prayer, the Lord said to her, when did I tell you that I was going to be through in 90 minutes?
My God.
He said, get back to what I gave you, because I put deliverance in you, and deliverance might take all day. She said, soon as she went back to the anointing that God put on her life, she said she didn't have room in the place.
My God.
See, we can't compromise with the anointing that God has on us and has in us. When we compromise, amen, we taint it. And when we taint it, amen, we make it like, amen, the silver and the gold that done sat out in the open too long, it don't have the glow no more.
My God.
And that's what done happened in most churches. They done lost the luster. They done lost the glory. And they don't realize a lot of churches are close to having Ichabod put over the door. Now, somebody would come on this line tonight and come, oh, you stuck in the past. God spent in great revival. Let me tell you something. I believe in the great revival. I've been prophesying that great revival for 20, 25 years now, especially in the New England area. So don't tell me I'm off. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. The reason why we have not seen the move is because we're doing everything but seeking God.
But what God said. Yeah.
Somebody talk to me.
Well, man of God, you've said everything that can be said on that wise. We're not seeing what we desire or what we've been, what's been prophesied or what's been promised, because we've been trying to fit in with what everybody else has said. And I'll never forget, this is years ago when I was in my younger days of ministry, and I said to myself, well, I said, Lord, I done been in ministry over 20 years, and still I'm not recognized. I'm not out there like some of these preachers and some of these people popping up overnight, got big ministries and everything. And I said, I know you're giving me good words. And the Lord said these words to me. He said, I never created you to sit in just to fit in.
Amen.
He said, I created you to stand out on purpose. So that's why everybody don't respond to you the way that you think, because everybody don't want truth. And most people run from the truth. Everybody want fame. Everybody want to be identified with somebody who's big because they can hide that way. I learned years ago that the devil can't run around in a small church like he can a big one. Jesus had 12 disciples. Only one was the devil. So what happens in the church of 10,000? I mean, okay, let me go on to something else. But the Lord showed me that, and it gave me an understanding that I was able to function better, because I understand that as long – listen, success in ministry is not determined by how many people you have. Success in ministry is determined by how obedient you can be to what God calls you to do. So in light of what you're saying, as long as we do what God says, we succeed, and we see it manifest. But when we do what we choose or because of what somebody else say, that's when things fall apart. Amen?
Let me, if I may, jump in here for a minute. And I agree and disagree with you, Chief Apostle, and I say that for this reason, because it's God's desire to move according to how he needs to move in his spirit. And I have to agree with you, Apostle Whitlow, on the very fact that when we get in line with the word, as I said earlier, when you come in, when the scripture says enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise, when you come in already in your mind making a decision that you are going to completely seek the face of God, and not just you, but others like you, you open the door. It can be a 90-minute service, but it can be a power-packed 90-minute service, or it could be one of those drag-out sessions where you pretty much find the praise and worship team having to pump and prime the people, and the minister comes forth to share the word that morning, and he's pumping and priming the preacher, and then here comes the secretary with the announcements, and she's trying to get in on the act. It becomes a circus. But when you come in with heart's desire, spirit-filled, and just got your mind stayed and set on Jesus, and I'm going to say this for earnest, because this is what I need to do when I come into a service. This is one of the reasons why I can't go to a church. And I know the pastor is getting ready to preach, or the preacher is getting ready to preach. I'm sure you guys learned the same thing. I was taught a long time ago by my spiritual mother, the late Maddie Atkinson Darden, you don't hold conversation with the preacher when the word is coming from that preacher, because you don't know what God is saying to that preacher, and you sitting there distracting them. It's only costing the people what God has laid out for them. So with that thing in mind, I have to learn how to walk into the place already set with expectation, already set with anticipation, already in my heart looking to rejoice in the God of my salvation. I can be concerned about you, but I'm not going to be concerned about you in that moment, because there's something that I need. So if God takes 90 minutes or 2.5 hours,
or 3 hours? And why are we counting time anyway? The people of God have to take their mind off of the time and focus on his glory if you're coming in there to get what God has for you.
Yes. But if you notice, amen, the woman of God was confessing that she was in a disobedience.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
God
never called her into a 90 minute. Watch this. I want to talk about this, though. Genesis. Watch this now. Here's when you know that the people of God are off. Genesis declared that the sons of God were on their way to the temple, and in the midst of them, there was Satan.
How in the
ham sandwich is that even possible? You mean to tell me a whole line and nobody in line recognized that the devil was getting ready to go into service? Are we that far off with the things of God that we can't even see when the enemy is about to wreak havoc?
Question.
And then we sit there in the service, instead of binding and loosening and getting the power of God right, we sitting there, even as preachers. I could have stayed home today. Well, go home then. We need somebody to jump up. We need somebody to jump up, ask for the mic, and say, look, we're not going down like this. Everybody stand to your feet. And let's cry out to God.
Amen.
Until this atmosphere break in here. Until the power of the Lord come down. We settle for too many things in this hour and still try to call it worship service. It ain't so.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It ain't so. So I don't care what church it is. It could be one of the biggest churches in California, biggest church in Florida. It could be the biggest church in Detroit. Matter of fact, it could be the biggest church in New Haven. You cannot get in the proper flow with God if the enemy has them come in to take a seat.
I agree.
He ought not to be comfortable. Even coming near the house, more or less in the house.
True. I agree with that. For some strange, well, it ain't a strange reason. It's an obvious reason. My challenge here, and it's not my challenge personally, but I'm noticing this, and I think I've been in church long enough to be able to make this assessment, you know? I mean, should not, I know the scripture talks about the Levites, the 120 priests with trumpets standing at the east end. Here's my thing. What is that saying about those priests? What is that saying about those Levites? You said earlier there had to have been some kind of rehearsal at some point. Should not the anointing started flowing in the midst of that rehearsal and more or less be a carryover into the service? And we can call it residue, give it any name you want to give it. But the truth of the matter is, when the power of God flows and then carries over, per se, from a rehearsal into an actual service, it's even stronger then, okay? To me, it's even stronger and even more powerful because you've ignited and gotten God's attention. You've united, and now you've ignited. And now the explosion takes place at the appointed time, and that is in the midst of that service. Now, when the people walk in with that same mindset, possibly having heard that the Holy Ghost fell in that rehearsal, now they're coming, hopefully with expectation to see what God has for them. I went to a service one time, and I don't mind mentioning the church because I was a member of that church at one time, Living Word Ministries in West Haven, Connecticut. And I will never forget the time I walked into a service, and I came in with high expectations. The worship service was so high. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but my spirit felt like it was fluttering. I mean, that was the flow of the spirit in that given point in time, because I came in focused on the glory of God, focused on the power of God, focused on ministering to the Lord so the Lord would minister back to me. And I honestly felt like in my spirit I was flying. And I mean, it's been rare. I'll be honest with it. It's been rare since I can't go by my feeling, but I'm just going to say it's been rare since I felt that. But I know what it's like when it comes. That's earnest. So I'm going to say that for me.
And I know it's rare. I know it's rare since you felt that, because let's look at the text one more time.
Okay.
Even though they practiced, even though they were dressed right, when it got time to do the sanctuary thing, they got at the east end of the altar and said, "We had practice, but now, God, what are you doing?"
Mm-hmm. All right.
We don't want to go in with just, "This is the day." You might not be saying, "This is the day." You might be saying, "Thou art worthy." So we want to hear from you. Or he may not even want no singing. He might just blow the trumpets.
True that.
You know, and this is what we miss in the house of God. We, and it's not just the program. We get stuck in how we feel it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when God's trying to do something different, somebody jump up. "Oh, well, praise God, praise God. It's time for this. Sit your happy self down." God is trying to move, and you get left in your flesh, get ready to kill a presence of God.
Well, then let's go this way. I have noticed in certain movings of the Spirit of the Lord that God be wanting to move, and you'll have someone sitting back and they be humming. "Oh, Lord." And they sit there and they're moaning and they're moaning and they're moaning. And then you got somebody who'll say, "Well, let the Lord use you, let the Lord use you." But all they do is they sit there and they moan. And God want to do something, but he can't stop the individual from moaning because they won't get up and say nothing. I mean, there's more to God than the moan. Uh-oh. That's enough.
I'm going to tell you, them old saints like that were praying for you stronger than you knew.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I had to find that out myself. They'd be praying for you stronger than you know.
Amen.
It may sound just like moaning, but that's a prayer. That's a prayer life they in. Because every now and then you hear them, "Oh, Lord, help them, Lord, help them." So they put in the spirit, they pushing you in a moan and a groan.
Amen.
And now then they'll come out of their mouth. I said, "Say it now. Say it." And they'll go right back to moaning. Now, I tell you who's good for that. Precious, precious woman of God. I call her one of my mothers, a precious woman by the name of Elder Barbara Buford. Amen. When you preaching, my brother, I'm going to tell you, that woman of God sit behind you, your whole message. Come on now. Come on. Come on. I mean, she does that through the whole message. But she's not trying to disturb you. She's
teaching
a lot of things about the old school saints I had a chance to learn because that was all I was ever around.
Amen.
Coming out of the Free Will Baptist Church. That's all I was ever left to hang around. So I got to learn a whole lot of stuff that looked crazy until I realized what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. I throw one more at you on that, and you know, and both of you, actually you, especially Chief Apostle Smith, Dr. Maddie Atkinson-Darden, would do the same thing. She had this little thing when you were ministering and you were putting a word out, and it agreed with her spirit. And please, don't nobody laugh at me. But when you heard that,
oh yeah. She was
you
with
you,
got man.
That fired up. I
yes,
was fired up. Something
don't,
else.
Don't forget it now. Yeah, they say yeah. And that one hand in there.
There you go.
She was,
and don't let her get
you. She was with you for sure then.
Holy Ghost headlock.
But,
don't
but
let her get you. Holy Ghost headlock. Finish.
But listen, in this other level. Because there's a whole other dimension that we're looking at.
Yeah.
And that's what I really want to leave in the hearts of the people tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That separation, you should always live a life of sanctification.
Amen.
But then you ought to be able to go to the next dimension. And as God uses you, it is apparently clear that you live a life of sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me say that again. I hit the accelerator too hard. I said you should live a life of sanctification.
Sanctification, absolutely.
But when it comes to the next dimension of doing the ministry itself, the sanctification ought to speak for itself. You shouldn't be up doing ministry, trying to get sanctified and do ministry at the same time.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Lord. Come on now.
So in this next part, it says, as they begin to minister as one in a unison. I was telling Apostle Whitlow earlier today, there was a pastor out in Chicago. She was teaching the people out of this same text. And she said, today, I'm not going to do no whole lot of teaching. She said, I just want to demonstrate what the Lord is saying.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, what I want everybody to do, she said, get ready to clap your hands. She said, now follow me. She clapped, they clapped. She clapped, they clapped. She clapped, they clapped. And it kept getting faster and faster until they wound up on one clap.
Uh-huh.
And they just kept clapping their hands. And then she told them, now give praise to God. Men of God, I want y'all to know, people started calling out and getting healed and getting delivered because of oneness from a hand clap. What I'm trying to share on this air tonight is that we have walked far away from a move of God. I remember when if somebody got a glory to God praise, they would jump up and say, everybody, get on that glory to God praise.
Yeah, yes.
There wasn't no glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, you're wonderful. No, there was an anointing on the glory to God praise.
And everybody
would immediately, that's right, they would immediately tell everybody, pick up on that praise.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody would go into a glory to God praise. Ooh, and you talking about a move? Man, we will see God do something. But see what it is now. We've gotten so far away. Matter of fact, let me just say this. I'm sad to say it, but it has become such a show now. Until the preacher has made the move of God about themselves.
Uh-oh.
Y'all come on and get with me, because God's getting ready to take me to another realm. And God's getting ready to do this, and he's going to use me. Well, what if he want to use somebody out there in the middle of the audience?
Come on now.
Uh-oh.
All you done told them was me.
Mm-hmm.
And the poor person out there about to burn up with a word from the Lord, but you keep saying everything is going to happen through you.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, somebody talk to me.
Well, I want to say I think we got other callers on at the moment, and I'm not sure who exactly is on, but call if you please identify yourself. We want to welcome you in. Callers? Okay. I gather they
What's
just want to
number?
Listen.
What's that?
They
What's
probably
that
just want
code?
To listen. That's
What's
fine.
What's that area code, Elder?
I don't have an area code. It just says call is on.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, somebody talk to you.
Come on, Pastor Willow.
You know, this is an issue in today's local assembly that people have learned, they have lifted up the preacher, the pastor, the bishop, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the elder, but they have not lifted up the Lord. And so this is why God has had to take some of these great leaders, because they got caught up in themselves. I think back to Jim Jones, great man, but got caught up in himself so bad that he took people with him and died together because he made it about himself. Look at the Son of the Morning. He was so great and grand and got so beside himself, the Bible said he drew a third of the stars in heaven. Too many people have made it about themselves and have stopped making it about God. That's it. Can't make it about yourself. It has to be about God.
Let's look at this thing again. Read that verse that we're in, because there seems to be a problem there.
Uh-huh. And it says, stood at the east end of the altar, that's where we left off, and with them and 123 sounding with trumpets, it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one. To
what?
Make one sound.
What?
They were as one.
To do what? Wait, what? To do what?
To make one sound.
One sound? Go ahead.
One sound. To be heard in praising and thanking the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord.
Uh-oh. Where's the cloud?
Oh, my.
Where's the cloud?
My goodness.
Where's the cloud? And it didn't say the cloud came from the preacher itself. It didn't say the cloud came from the musicians only.
Okay.
This said the cloud came from the singers only. It said because they ministered like one unit.
Mm.
Nobody trying to show off. Nobody trying to be better. They realize what I'm doing is about God's presence only. I am not invited.
Come on.
Well, here's what I get, and this is just me. This is just Apostle 1 and 1. The cloud has been replaced by a bunch of clowns. Because anyone who would try to take God's glory has to be a clown. Oh, we had a high time. Did you hear how I sang? Did you hear how I hit that note? Oh, did you see how I danced? Did you see how I did this and how I did that? You clown. You clown. I said clown. That's all. Just a clown.
Are you trying to tell me that howdy doody is in the church?
Bozo too.
Okay.
And homie the clown.
Bozo.
And all these old crazy folks. Let me tell you something. I want to just say this to those who may be listening in, amen, by way of this broadcast on so many different, amen, opportunities of listening to us tonight, amen. But I want you to hear this. This is not a throw-off of the church.
Mm-mm.
This is the heart of three men of God that wish we would get back to God and let God be first and foremost. See, everybody talking about let God be first. No, we got to let him be first and